Where are we? That's a very good question.
Where are we?
We are in the middle of a story, which is the explanation or extension of my preferred story in Masnavi. You remember that? You have to. It's not a matter of choice. It's my favorite story. Why is that? That's a good question. Why that story is my favorite story?
Probably only you know.
It's there are so many stories here, or beautiful, or made to relay the message and things like that. That one is very appealing to me because in early ages I started to visualize this fellow. This fellow is sitting on a wall and he's thirsty. And in early age I developed a feeling for this guy that is silly, and later I pictured him. He was a man. I pictured him to be a mason. While studying architecture, I thought, he's the mason. So he was building the wall. And that gave me a lot of hints. The solution is simple. That's the best hint that your ego is raising your wall, and you will go further from the water. That was a warning. It worked for me. Then, next paragraph, Rumi started to say, listen, this problem I'm talking about, you could talk about every single day in your life, because that's what we are. Doing something about it needs a very different approach, because usually your approach to problems are logical. And logically, this doesn't look the worst, because your brain, your intelligence is constantly feeding you with little problems that are urgent. Rumi added a paragraph, we are in the middle of that. And in the middle of that, somewhere Rumi said, oh, I'm going zigzag here, I'm not doing well. Why? That's where we stopped last time. Let's see, what happened? Story started with the hakim, Wali, telling the man that you were planting the thorn in the road. Pick it up. Take care of it. And the guy said, yes, I'll take care of it tomorrow. After tomorrow. And this went on a long time. Then Wali was there again. Normally he doesn't do that. He will send the police to arrest the guy, but he was personally there because Rumi wanted to talk with his mouth. And he say, listen, when I say you have to attend to this now, is for a very, very simple reason. Every single day, he called it. I prefer to call it moment, because in that time they didn't have the idea of quantum and little time and things like that. Really, every single moment that you don't attend to it, something happens. Do you remember a couple of sessions before, Rumi talked about little stuff to remember always? He said, you cannot sit in a corner and do nothing, because every single moment something good or bad will come out of you, because there are so many times that not doing is your fault. So every single moment somebody in you will build up upon whatever has been there, whatever you have been doing, will build up. That's what his job is. He's a mason, not Freemason. A mason, a slave in you, which is building the world. And guess what? This is not the only problem. Every single moment, that one gets stronger, and you, the spirit fellow, you get weaker. Because you get old, and it will get strong. We talked about it, to remember that we are the outcome of all the stuff we do. So whatever we do, it will change us. And this gradual change, which is coming from that problem, will add to the problem. So you have to take care of it immediately. Even if you don't care about the other people that are being hurt by the thorn of what you're doing, think about yourself. Because you are one of we, and you will lose more. And I know the resistance is in you. He compared it with the fire. And he said, when you want to get rid of the fire, I remember in the Rumi's time there was no fire extinguisher. It's water. And getting rid of a very hot stuff with the water is a very noisy stuff, first of all. When you pour the water in the fire, it starts to have little explosions and things like that. He said, do it. And when the ego down there will start to defend itself, tell it shut up, because that's not your friend. This was 1254, I believe. Here he will realize that he's branching out too much. He comes back to the main tree. What is the subject of the main tree? You. He branched out with this story, and my preferred story, from something.
I still think that you're with the former essence.
He was talking about the jealousy of the others towards the chosen one. So this is what will happen in you. Actually, you take side in yourself. There is you, this spirit you, okay? There is you, it's your biological existence. And there is you, the animal one. And there is you, the habit-made fellow. And a lot of this, we know that all, right? Okay, what we want to do here? Go back to the day one. Day one, we said, listen, the problem is only one problem, and it's intelligence. It's not intelligence, actually. Intelligence is good. You surrendering to it with no doubt is the problem. Believing in norm and forgetting about the extra, forgetting about the exception, knowing the rule is the problem. Okay? Then what? We said there are several fellows in you, and you have taken the side of the wrong one. That's the habit of the animal. The animal will take the side of what? Intelligence. That's what animal relies upon, right? So for you, this is a mistake. Because yes, you have intelligence. This is your handmaiden, but you have other stuff. We talked about it. The exceptional stuff, which are the cause of love and kindness and beauty. So let's attend to them, and because of how you are developed, we have to emphasize more on that part, because you have been educated in intelligence very heavily. Remember in Rumi's time, how much they spent time for education, the people? Almost nothing, a little bit. Some of them are lucky, they go 2-3 years to school to be able to read and write. The rest, illiterate. And they don't know a lot. In our time, 15, 16, 17 years of education is mandatory for survival in our society. So we attend to the intelligence part a lot. And in the system we attended, in a way, we are being brainwashed. One, this is the side effect of the luxury. You remember the luxury we found when we got civilized. Living in a city had one major luxury which changed the lifestyle of humanity. We call it civilization. Do you remember that? You promised me that you will remember. Okay, I forget you this time. Next time I remember, I explained it twice to you. Okay.
Specialization.
Exactly. A specialization. Before that, because the human beings are scattered, everybody should be able to do almost everything. And that's how it goes. When they are condensed, and the caravan, by coming and going, has a rest beside the river. Normally, that's what, where all the big cities were born. You need the water and the path crossing each other. Over there, the specialists start to rise, because a fellow who is good with iron working will attend to all horseshoe nailing and all that stuff for everyone. He will become good at it. This is the biggest movement. But the high point of it is education. Before that, there is no teacher. Over there, school and teacher are possible, because there is one guy who is teaching 20, 40 kids. Suddenly, it started. Okay? Lovely. That was one of the best changes ever. But the side effect is that the science nowadays is taught with by specialists. What does that mean? Means that each, let's say, branch of knowledge has a teacher, and this teacher is expert in this field and ignorant in other fields. Does it sound familiar? Late 1950s, early 50s. This was the key to a new science. A couple of scientists, namely Ross Ashby, Norbert Wiener, they sat down and said, what is this mess we are in? We are getting together weekly to enjoy each other's company, and we are the prop of the society here, the best in San Francisco. And there is this lady, rich lady, organizing this meeting. We sit down, and we are the highest educated fellows on earth, but we cannot communicate, because each of us is deep down in one of these branches. That's how a science named cybernetics was born. They said, let's find a science to build a bridge between specialists to understand each other. The problem is, that bridge again is